You've built the thing. It works. And now you're paralyzed.
That's the most common place technical founders get stuck. Not the building, the selling. And honestly? It makes complete sense why.
Welcome to Claud Talks. I'm Emma, and today we're going deep on one of the most uncomfortable topics for anyone who comes from an engineering or product background. How do you actually get your first paying customer?
I'm Ryan. And we're not going to give you fluffy motivation today. We're going to give you a step-by-step framework, the mindset, the tactics, the scripts, the legal stuff, because yes, we're going to talk about when to actually register your company. Spoiler, probably not when you think.
Let's start with the mindset, because if we don't fix this first, none of the tactics matter. Ryan, why do you think technical founders are so scared of sales?
Because everything in their background has taught them that the work speaks for itself. You write good code, it either runs or it doesn't. You ship a feature, you get a PR review, it merges or it doesn't. There's an objective truth. Sales feels completely different, it's ambiguous, it's social, it's emotional. And there's this cultural stigma around salespeople that honestly goes back decades. The pushy car salesman. The cold caller interrupting dinner. Nobody wants to be that person.
And here's the thing, that fear is completely valid. But it's based on a wrong mental model of what sales actually is. The reframe that changed everything for me. Sales isn't convincing people to buy something they don't want. Sales is finding the people who already have the problem and helping them discover you're the solution.
That's huge. Say it again.
You're not trying to create desire. You're trying to find demand that already exists. Your job is detective work, not persuasion. And when you think about it that way, it's actually not that different from debugging. You're looking for the pain signal, tracing it back to its source, and proposing a fix.
Paul Graham wrote a famous essay, "Do Things That Don't Scale," and it's basically a permission slip for founders to do sales in the most manual, scrappy, UN-automated way possible. He talks about how Airbnb's founders literally went door to door in New York to meet their early hosts. They took photos of apartments themselves. That doesn't scale. But it got them their first customers. And those first customers taught them everything.
The insight is, in the early days, scalability is the enemy of learning. You need to be face-to-face, or at least voice-to-voice, with your first customers to understand why they're buying, what language they use to describe the problem, what objections they have. You can't automate your way to that knowledge.
And then there's the fear of rejection. Let's just be direct about it. Getting a no feels awful. It activates the same part of your brain as physical pain. This is actual neuroscience. But here's the reframe, a no is data. If 5 people say this isn't a priority for us right now, you've just learned something incredibly valuable about timing or market fit. If 10 people say we already use X and it's fine, you know you have a positioning problem or a competitive differentiation problem. No isn't failure. No is signal.
Okay, so that's the mindset. Now let's talk about before you even have customers, what should you be doing?
First thing, and I cannot stress this enough, do not run to register a company before you have paying customers. I know it feels like the official first step. You get a nice domain, you design a logo, you register the GmbH, you feel like a real founder. But you've just spent money and months on bureaucracy when you should have spent that time talking to customers.
We'll get into the specifics of German and Swiss company formation later in the episode, but the principle is universal. Validate before you incorporate. Your energy is finite. Spend it on customer discovery, not paperwork.
So what do you do instead? You validate. And one of the most powerful ways to do this is the fake dog approach. You build a landing page. You describe the product. You put a get early access button. You run some LinkedIn posts or targeted ads. You see if anyone clicks through and gives you their email. If nobody wants in for free, nobody's going to pay for it.
We know founders who save themselves 6 months and 50,000 euros by doing a fake door test before writing a single line of code. They had the idea, built a 3-page website in a weekend, ran a few hundred euros of LinkedIn ads at their target audience and got 12 signups. But when they followed up with those 12 people, only 3 actually had the problem badly enough to pay. That told them something crucial.
Now, how do you identify your first 10 potential customers? This is where a lot of founders get stuck. They think they need to go find some mysterious market. But your first customers are closer than you think.
Start with former colleagues. If you worked at a company in the industry you're targeting, you know people who still work there. They know you, they trust you, and if your product solves a problem they have, the sales conversation is almost already done.
Second, communities where the problem is discussed. If you're building for e-commerce operators, there are Slack groups, Discord servers, LinkedIn communities, and Shopify forums full of people complaining about exactly the problem you're solving. Join them. Not to pitch, to listen first. Then contribute. Build a reputation. Then you can mention what you're building.
Third, LinkedIn, use smartly. Not mass messaging, targeted, specific outreach to the exact title and company size that fits your ICP. Your ideal customer profile. We'll talk about how to write those messages in a minute.
Fourth, niche forums and Reddit. If you're building for, say, independent financial advisors, there are subreddits and forum threads where they're actively frustrated. Read those threads. Find the people complaining the loudest. They're your early adopters.
And then the classic debate. Warm intros versus cold outreach. Warm wins. Every time. If you can get a mutual connection to introduce you, even a light, hey, I know this person building something in your space, might be worth a chat. Your response rate jumps dramatically. Before you send a single cold message, exhaust your warm network.
But cold can absolutely work. You just need to do it right. So let's talk about the anatomy of a great cold outreach message. This is part 3.
The cardinal sin of cold outreach is leading with your product. Hi, I built X, it does Y and Z, would you like a demo? Nobody cares. They don't know you. They have no reason to care about your product.
What works instead is leading with their problem. Here's a template that actually converts Hi, name, I noticed, specific thing about their company or situation. A lot of their role at companies like company type struggle with specific pain point. I've been talking to about 50 people in this space and built something that addresses this. Would you be open to a 15-minute chat? No pitch, I just want to understand if the problem I'm solving maps to what you experience.
Notice a few things about that message. One, it's specific. You've done your homework on them specifically. 2. It's problem-focused, not product-focused. 3. The ask is tiny 15 minutes, not let me show you a full demo. 4. You've added credibility by mentioning customer discovery. I've talked to 50 people. That's a real signal that you're serious.
On the channel question, email versus LinkedIn versus DM. In 2026, LinkedIn DMs actually have a pretty solid response rate for B2B, especially if you've done some warm-up first, like engaging with their posts or commenting thoughtfully. Email works well when you can find a direct address, which tools like Apollo or Hunter.io can help with. What doesn't work is the same generic template blasted to 500 people. Personalization is everything.
And then the follow-up. This is where almost every founder leaves money on the table. Most deals happen after 3 to 5 follow-ups. Most founders send one message, hear nothing, and conclude the person isn't interested. That's almost never what's happening. People are busy. Your email got buried. A gentle follow-up 3 days later saying, "Just wanted to bump this in case it got lost," has a wildly high response rate.
Tools like Lemlist can help you automate follow-up sequences while keeping them feeling personal. But honestly, in the early days, do it manually. Write each follow-up by hand. You'll learn more.
One more thing on outreach. Specificity is your superpower when you don't have brand recognition. You're not Salesforce. You're not going to win on name recognition, but you can win on showing you deeply understand their world. I read your blog post about your Q3 supply chain issues, or I saw you're hiring 3 logistics coordinators right now, that usually means the current process is breaking. That kind of specific observation gets replies.
Okay, you've got a meeting. Now what? Let's talk about the sales conversation. And this is where so many founders blow it.
The number one mistake: opening with a pitch. Do not do this. You get on the call and immediately launch into your deck. Now the other person feels like they've been tricked into a sales call. Instead, open with a question. Before I tell you anything about what we're building, can you walk me through how you handle X today?
This does several things. It gets them talking, which means they feel heard. It tells you whether they actually have the problem you're solving. And it gives you the exact language they use to describe the pain, which you can use later in the conversation.
The ratio to aim for in a discovery call, you talk 30% of the time, they talk 70%. If you're talking more than that, you're pitching too much. You should be asking questions and listening.
A common objection you'll hear, we already have a solution for this. Don't panic. Don't give up. Instead, probe it. That's great. What are you using? Let them answer. Then, how long have you been using it? What do you love about it? Let them answer. Then, is there anything about it that's frustrating, or situations where it doesn't quite work? And watch what happens next.
Nobody loves their current solution 100%. There's always something. The scheduling is clunky, the reporting is bad, the support is terrible, it doesn't integrate with the new tool they just adopted. That gap is your opening.
Now, pricing. This is where technical founders have a particular allergy. They either avoid pricing entirely or they massively underprice because they don't feel they can justify the number. Both are wrong.
Don't be afraid to say a number. Vague pricing kills deals. If someone asks, "What does it cost?" and you say, "Well, it depends, we'd need to scope it," they disengage. They can't make a decision without a number. Even a rough range is better than nothing. We're thinking somewhere between $2,000 and $5,000 per month depending on usage. Does that ballpark make sense for your budget?
And then the close. You don't need to be pushy. In fact, low-pressure closes work better in B2B. Based on what you've shared, does this seem like something worth exploring further? That's it. You're not asking them to sign anything. You're asking if there's a fit worth investigating. Most people can say yes to that.
If they say yes, propose a concrete next step on the call. Don't leave it open. Great. Can we set up a 30-minute follow-up next week, where I'll show you a quick demo tailored to the use cases you mentioned?
Let's talk about the GmbH question. Because this comes up constantly in Germany and Switzerland especially, should I register the company first?
In Switzerland, registering a GmbH requires 20,000 francs in minimum capital, a notarized deed of incorporation, and somewhere between 1,500 and 3,000 francs in fees. Takes weeks. It is not a thing you should do while you're still figuring out whether anyone will pay for your product.
What you do instead, register as an Einzelunternehmen. A sole proprietorship. In Switzerland, this is free. You go to your cantonal commercial registry, fill out a form, and you're done. You can invoice clients. You can sign contracts. You're a legal entity. You don't need a GmbH for this.
The Einzelunternehmen income is taxed as personal income, so there's no corporate tax layer. For early stage validation, when you're still figuring out if the business works, this is exactly what you want. Simple, cheap, fast.
When does it make sense to upgrade to a GmbH? When you have a paying customer and need a proper contract. When you're taking on partners or outside investment. When you need liability protection for a product that carries real business risk. When clients specifically ask for it, enterprise buyers sometimes won't contract with a sole proprietor. Those are the right triggers. Not my want to feel like a real founder.
And let's be honest, I need to set up the company first is often procrastination in a suit. Feels productive. You're doing something official, but you're avoiding the harder, scarier thing. Picking up the phone and calling a potential customer.
For Germany, the GmbH requires 25,000 euros minimum capital, and the UG, Unternehmergesellschaft, is the low capital alternative, starting from 1 euro. Same principle applies though, validate before you incorporate.
All right, let's close with part 6, overcoming the fear. Because everything we've talked about today only works if you actually do it.
Let's just be completely direct about the worst-case scenario. You send a cold email. The person says no. That's it. that's the worst that happens. No one punches you. No one publishes your name in a newspaper. No one fires you. You get a no. And then you learn something and you move on.
Every no gets you closer to a yes. I know that sounds like a motivational poster, but it's actually true in a very mechanical sense. If your conversion rate is 10%, meaning 1 in 10 conversations leads to a paying customer, then every no is progress. You need those 9 no's to get to the yes. You're not failing, you're working through the funnel.
One of the most practical things you can do, role play. Find a friend, ideally someone who has sales experience, or at least someone willing to be skeptical, and practice your discovery call. Have them push back. Have them say, "We already have a solution." Have them ask, "Why should I trust you? I've never heard of you." The discomfort you feel in that roleplay is completely manageable, and it's far better than feeling it for the first time on a real call.
And here's the last thing. Your first customer is probably someone you already know. Think about every former colleague, every person from your industry, every person in your alumni network. If you've been in an industry for 5 years, you know dozens of people who are potential customers or can refer you to them. Work that network before you go cold.
The confidence loop is real. Once you have one paying customer, something shifts. You have a case study. You have proof that someone besides yourself thinks this is worth money. You have a story you can tell the next prospect. The second customer is easier than the first. The third is easier than the second. Momentum is real, but it only starts with that first yes.
So let's recap everything we covered today. Mindset. Sales is finding people who already have the problem, not convincing people who don't. No is data. Before you have customers, don't incorporate yet, validate first. Use fake doors, communities, LinkedIn, warm intros, cold outreach. Lead with their problem, be specific, ask for 15 minutes, follow up 3 to 5 times.
The discovery call, listen 70%, talk 30. Never open with a pitch. Probe objections. Say numbers on pricing. Use a low pressure close. When to form the GmbH or UG, when you have a real reason, a paying customer, a contract need, a partner. Not before. And overcoming the fear, the worst is a no. Practice, start with your network, build momentum.
If you take one thing from today, let it be this: the gap between "I built the thing" and "I have a customer" is not a business problem. It's a courage problem. And courage is a muscle. Use it.
That's it for today's episode of Claude Talks. If this was useful, share it with a technical founder who's been avoiding the sales conversation. They probably know who they are. Until next time.
See you out there.